be perfect here, man. It's not hot anymore. This is ideal. This is really just choice.
You're on.
Okay. We are here live with St. Louis's own DJ Innovation on killradio.org. Exclusive interview today. Innovation calling in from the south side of St. Louis from 15 years in the trenches. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. It is a beautiful golden day here in the City of Angels in Los Angeles. What's it like back there in the Lou, man? How's it going?
It's pretty nice. You know, it feels like 75 degrees or something right now, maybe a little hotter. It's nice.
Nice. So, you know, I know who you are because you and I came up through the same St. Louis underground hip-hop scene, and I know that you were the promoter of the Mike Fights where I first originally tasted any success at rap battling. But I got some questions just to kind of get the listeners going here. You know, when did you officially start DJing? You know, when did you first get the itch, and how did you learn how to DJ, and, you know, kind of, you know, how did you get to be as masterful as you are now?
Well, actually, I saw DJ Rectangle DJing. It was for Outkast. It was an Outkast show, and he was set up in the middle of the crowd, and I happened to be next to him, and I'd never really seen a live DJ. It just blew my mind. I couldn't figure out what he was doing, how he was making those sounds. So probably, you know, a couple months down the road after that, I ended up buying some turntables, just some old janky turntables, belt-driven turntables, the wrong thing, off this guy that I met, and just started messing around, you know, started collecting records and trying to find breaks and mix stuff that I thought sounded cool, you know. Obviously, I wasn't very good, but just starting out, you know, in my basement.
Yeah, so you just were kind of doing it by trial and error, like when I learned the guitar. Sounds kind of the same way.
I didn't really have anybody to teach me. I didn't know anybody that did it. So I was just like, man, this is something I'm going to try to do. I don't know anybody that's doing it. You know, I didn't know even about the scene, really, in St. Louis. I was just messing around.
Well, and that's cool that you just kind of learned how to do it, because the first thing I remember thinking when I saw you spin live was, that dude's not just playing hot records. He really knows how to mix and scratch, and I could see you being good in a DJ battle or some kind of a competition. You know, you had all the skill set. You weren't just a dude in the corner putting on a record.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. I never really was the DJ that played all the hot records. You know, I was kind of a selfish DJ. I played what I liked for the most part every time I DJed. You know, there's always those special occasions once I got better and everything where I had to play certain music. But for the most part, if you were checking me out DJing live, it was what I like.
So I guess tell the people what you like. I mean, what are some of your greatest influences? What are the records that if Innovation had carte blanche to just throw down right now, what would you be rocking, dude?
Well, you know, I'd be rocking a lot of old school, you know, a lot of, you know, I like Far Side, just like, oh, I like that boom bap, you know, in your ear, classic hip hop, ring hip hop, you know, that's what I like. I'm not really much of a rap fan, you know, I just really can't get with what's going on nowadays. I like that classic golden era hip hop.
Yeah, me too. Kind of the Native Tongues and De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest, you know, some of those early Rockus records.
Yeah,
I feel
Outkast, you know, I was into all of that. You know, coming up, it was like the Fat Boys and DJ Quick, N.W.A. and stuff like that, you know, and then it just evolved on. My ear opened up a little bit broader, and, man, you know, I love hip-hop. That's the bottom line. You know, it's got to be that soulful hip-hop for me.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It's funny because we're both people from the 90s, and we sound like old guys now, like, you know, remember back in the 90s when they used to have rock bands and rappers that worked together in harmony? And, you know, remember when you could make an album with samples and they didn't say it was sucky and soulless and not music? And, you know, it's like the 90s had that, like, window where everybody was kind of making inspired stuff, at least that wanted to, you know?
Well, what's funny about it is my parents and everybody else was like, oh, that's not music. You know, it sounds terrible. And now that I'm older, it's like, man, I must be getting too old for this shit because I can't even stand the stuff that's on the radio. It's like, man, that's not music. It has no heart. You know, it sounds terrible. It's off key. And I don't know. I guess I'm just getting old.
Well,
now I'm that person like my parents were, like, man, this sounds like garbage. I think, man, my kid's going to grow up, and what's going to be considered old school to him is what's happening right now. And I'm like, oh, man.
Kids
to
today.
Go ahead and pass this up.
New kids,
you know,
get off
you
my
know
lawn.
When they're going to the Macklemore show and putting up the lighters at the Macklemore reunion tour.
I don't know. Macklemore's not that bad, though. You know, I listen to some of his older albums. I don't know about his new album. That's probably not that great. But listening to some of his old albums, you know, he's an up northern cat from Minnesota, and he's got that, you know, Rhymesayers ring to him. You know, it seems like he could be on the Rhymesayers label with his old albums, but then he switched up and I guess kind of went a little bit pop route.
I just like the name. It sounds so very K-Rock.
Macklemore. Right after Red Hot Chili Peppers, coming up soon.
He's got that pro-gay song that's out right now, too.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
You know, just basically speaking his mind, like, hey, you know, do what you want to do, what makes you happy. It's not like he's saying, hey, I'm gay. I don't know. He might be gay. I don't know.
You know, would you spin the Gay Rights song by Macklemore in your set, yes or no?
Would I? Probably not.
DJ Challenge.
DJ Challenge.
You know, I don't know. Maybe I'd take that thrift shop. Thrift shop instrumental and put some old school lyrics on it, but that'd be about it, just to mix in a little flavor, catch people's ears, hit them with something that's familiar to them, and then bring them back into my realm.
I like it. Yeah, I like that. I like it when Moff would do that, you know, when I go see DJ Moff and he'd throw down some
Moff's amazing at that,
old school,
man.
Then, yeah, he'd throw down some old school and then mash over
mix,
some new
man,
stuff.
I tell you what, Mashup King, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Any DJ can talk any shit they want to talk. It's like, all right, make a tape like Moff makes.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so who else have you worked with? And I mean, I know you've worked with many, many St. Louis artists that we've broken on Tucker Booth Needs a Job Mondays 2 to 4 here on Kill Radio. But, I mean, who have you worked with on the local scene in St. Louis? Who have you worked with on the national scene? Because I know you've worked with many artists and promoters that are much, much more known names than just St. Louis.
Well, I started out... BC, John Harrington from Midwest Avengers is the one that first put me on. It's kind of a crazy story. I was a kid and I ended up at one of their house parties back in the day. And there was live DJs there. It's kind of like a rave / hip hop party. I don't even really know how to explain it. It was kind of the fusion of both parties. And got to talking to him and PJ, one of the other members of Midwest Avengers. And just linked up with them, and then I would run into them in the loop because I'd be record shopping. I'd run into them every once in a while, and I'm like, hey, you know, I'm a DJ, this and that. And John Harrington kind of put me down on some small gigs in St. Louis. So, and then I started back in the Midwest Avengers on some tracks and at some shows. So I would say the first group I was pretty much affiliated with would probably be the Midwest Avengers. And then from there, I went on to get into a hip-hop rock band, which was Mr. I. Kind of like a fusion between hard rock with hip-hop, passionate lyrics. From there, I went on to do a bunch of different, like, just bouncing around, kind of get in where you fit in groups. Like, I DJed for The Elements, which was Spark Wunda and a couple of his homies back in the day before he was in 12 to 6 and all that. I DJed for a group called The Committee at the Red Sea.
Ja Davis, Cat Davis, man.
Affiliated with the mic fights.
Cat Davis, one of the greatest battle rappers in St. Louis history, died tragically too soon. Rest in peace, Cat.
Yeah, most definitely. I remember that. That was crazy. You know, when I came up, we did the mic fights. John Harrington, I had this idea of holding MC battles, and he kind of just masterminded the whole thing, you know, took that idea, and he had the backing behind him and the people to fill the place. And I was the resident DJ for it. We bring other DJs down, like DJ Trogue, DJ K9, you know, and they'd be affiliated with the event. But I pretty much generally always DJed the battles, unless I would split my time with Trogue or K9 every once in a while. But for the most part, I was the battle DJ. So I got to meet a lot of different rappers, which took me in a lot of different directions. For St. Louis, I went on to just DJ, doing a lot of live shows. I didn't do a lot of studio recordings at that time. It was mainly a lot of live shows. And I just kind of became known around the area a little bit as the cat that's willing to DJ. I'd go to a show, and I wouldn't leave the stage the whole night. I'd DJ for every single group. I'd DJ in between sets. You know, and it was just, man, it was like a full-time job.
Well, you had the chops, man. I mean, a lot of DJs may have the desire, but they don't have the stamina. They don't have the set list. They don't have the know-how. They don't have the skill. I could see that you could easily hold it down all night because that's what you were passionate about. And just like anyone that's, you know, in their zone, in their element, you seem very at peace behind the turntables. You know, like a lot of performers I know, including myself, we feel more at peace on stage. in front of a live audience than we do at home alone.
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, one of the reasons, to be totally honest, that I started DJing, one of the reasons, besides my love for hip-hop, is the fact that I was like, man, there will be a lot of people that will get to know me, and I'll feel more like I'm in the in crowd if I have some talent under my belt, something I'm better than somebody else at. You know, so that was a driving factor for me, because there really wasn't anything in my life that I was like, yeah, man, I'm really good at this, you know, and people are going to gravitate towards me because I do this. So I didn't really have anything like that. So DJing kind of filled a little void in my life, you know, and actually a huge void in my life. If it wasn't for DJing, man, it got me through all kinds of times.
A way to be connected.
Yeah, it's a way to be connected, man. You really are kind of the Wizard of Oz when you're the DJ, man. You make all the magic happen, you know.
So to kind of continue the list of who I've worked with, I went on to doing, I get into the Science, and I got to DJ at the Science at Blueberry Hill. It was a hip-hop night they had here. I met a bunch. I got to DJ that like two times, I think. Got to meet a bunch of the other big DJs. And then I started doing this stuff with John Harrington and DJ Agile One and Crucial. I did a couple nights with Digging in the Crates at Cicero's, another club on the Del Mar Loop, which in turn led me to this group called Matahoochee. They're kind of like a funk jam band, kind of Grateful Dead genre-esque.
I remember Matahoochee. They threw down, man. That's another group that could go for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're a nonstop, you know, the music will not stop for 4 hours straight, live band.
That's right. And they're like a great jam band.
They asked me to get in and scratch with them. It was actually one of the most annoying dudes I've ever met in St. Louis that hooked me up at Matahoochee, Beetle Bob.
Oh, Beetle Bob. Much love, Beetle Bob. If Beetle Bob shows up at one of your shows, John, he looks just like one of the Beatles, only he's like probably about 5 years older than you.
Yeah, and he's like obsessed with dancing really wild and handing everyone in the club his card.
And he set a Guinness record for most shows danced live on stage.
Yeah.
Doing his kung fu dance.
And he was the most infamous.
Yeah,
man,
he's everywhere, man. He's at Coachella. He's at Bonnaroo. He's everywhere.
Oh, no. Whack old man.
But yeah, so he hooked me up with Matahoochee, you know, which I started sitting in with them, just scratching behind him, you know, just all freestyle, you know, pretty much a lot of what I did back in the day, since it was all live, it was always just freestyle. And I've come to find that that's when I'm best in my element. You know, I can get into a studio and I can lay down some scratches for a track, you know, and it'll turn out fine. And then I'll play that song live, and there's just so many things running through my head that I can add to it and put on top of it, and it's just I'm always better freestyle. So they saw that in me, and that made me a better DJ, you know, rocking with a jam band that, you know, the change-ups were crazy, bleeding one into the next, and it just worked out perfect for me. So then I moved on to meet a member of the band Core Project. I had known Core Project and this and that, you know, around Steve Stedwick, the lead singer of one of the lead MCs of Core Project.
Legendary St. Louis
group. He had his own little group called Wick Affiliation that I started doing stuff with, where he would play the stand-up bass, and we'd have a live band, and I'd get on the turntables, and I'd match beats with the drummer, and, you know, the drummer would fall out, I'd become the drummer, and we'd switch on and off, and I'd scratch. It was really cool.
That's amazing. I remember Core Project was another legendary band because they transformed all the time. They were always on the down low as far as like publicity, but you knew about them because they were so good at getting their stickers out there and getting people
talking
about them.
Yeah, they were sticker bombers. I tell you what, man, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing a Core Project sticker. They made themselves huge just through promotion alone.
Yeah, it's true. They really were geniuses at just getting people to know the name and know that it was something big going on around town.
And on top of it, their music was dope. Man, they were a great group. But guys, man, they were really talented. You know, DJ Double XL, man, was superb on the cut.
It's so,
you know,
wild, man.
They were a really great group of guys. And, like, you know, Kama, one of the lead MCs, he went on, you know, to form Earthworms with DJ Moss, Black Patrick, and Matthias, who's now Matthias and the Pirates, who I've worked with. I've worked with Matthias. I've toured with Logic and Earthworms, filling in for DJ Moss. Man, it's really hard for me to remember all the groups I've actually been affiliated with.
Well, and Logic, for those of you listening that aren't aware, was definitely the dopest rock / rap / reggae band in St. Louis. I mean, it was like a fusion of all three into one. It was amazing. They could sing. They could play their ass off on all the instruments. They had a great rapper lead man who also had a beautiful singing voice. They were just phenomenal people and musicians. So you got to work with great folks, man. And I did, too. I got to collaborate with them at various times. You know, definitely some of the most influential friends of my life, man.
Yeah, definitely. I would say I definitely have been lucky enough to DJ with the biggest groups that have come out of St. Louis. I might not have been on albums, but I definitely did DJ with those groups and backed them at one point in time in my career, which, you know, that means a lot to me. You know, I wasn't necessarily going on individually with each one of these groups, but yet I left my imprint with each one of these groups at one point in time.
So you're almost like a hip-hop everyman. You've kind of been in every room. You've been kind of at every big thing that mattered. You always get the backstage pass because you're friends with the promoters. You've got DJ friends. You know all the people at the record store. You got rappers that come to you for scratches. You just kind of know everybody. And yet you're also a tastemaker and kind of a shadow tastemaker until recently when we started having Inno's Pump It or Dump It on Tucker Booth Needs a Job Mondays 2 to 4 on Kill Radio. Dude, tell us a little bit about doing some of this with me now. I mean, let's talk about how we reconnected through radio.
Well, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, man, because since I've settled down, gotten married, and, you know, now I have a kid, I've kind of backed out of the hip-hop game a little bit, you know. I was at a point to where I didn't have any weekends off, and my weekdays were booked DJing while I had a day job, too. So I went from being real aggressive to just kind of falling back, not playing live shows anymore. Like, I played my last live show a while ago. You know, I don't really plan on doing many more live shows unless it's just few and far in between. So this is a great outlet for me to still be involved with music, still do what I did DJing. You know, I always would pump local artists in my set. You know, I'd see a cat come into the club that I'm DJing at, boom, I put his track on. You know, so this is a way for me to still promote everybody in St. Louis, promote myself, meet new artists, work on new stuff in the studio, because that's pretty much all I do now. I bought my own studio. I got it at my boy's house set up. He's an amazing engineer, Mike B. He handles all of the recordings. His production is awesome. You know, we featured a lot of that on the radio before. You know, so I'm fortunate enough now to just be able to sit back, interact with these people, figure out who I want to work with, go in the studio, lay it down, bam, put it out, and it really doesn't take much effort.
Yeah, and it's wonderful because you're submitting all of these great artists that I know. Some of the stuff I've heard, some of the stuff is brand new to me. So I'm getting turned on every week just like the listeners are to all this new music that you're bringing to the show. And it's a lot of it's breaking other artists that haven't really gotten a lot of airplay. So that also gets us pumped up, too, because I was saying to John when we were off air playing Skills a few minutes ago, bud, we're playing new stuff on just about every show on here now.
Well, like, that's the idea. Show. You know, that's what it's all about. That's kind of like a DJ's job in my perspective. You know, you get a lot of these DJs nowadays. You got to pay them, you know, to play your song. And they're going to smile in your face and pat you on your back. And as soon as you walk away, they're going to throw a knife right in your back and be like, yeah, that was whack. I just got this dude's money or whatever. You know, I've never been that cat. I've always been like, man, I came from nothing my whole life and people put me on. So I'm like, well, whether I had skills or not, people put me on. So I feel like I'm always going to give somebody that chance. And if they can, you know, shine from that, great for them. On the other hand, you know, it's another notch in my belt, something I've done. You know, I've always been a real social person my whole life. So I've always had the ability to talk to people anywhere I go, read people, understand how I need to speak to them, and, you know, get backstage passes, get in places. You know, hell, I interviewed Valletta Wallace, Biggie's mom, acting like I worked for a radio station, you know what I'm saying? Getting in, sliding in back doors, you know? Got to meet superstars in the game, made connections in the game that I still have due to the fact that I just played the role and was at the right place at the right time, was able to talk the right talk, get in where I had to fit in, you know? And that's
how I met. We had M80 featured on hiphopclub.biz where this is going up, and that was really amazing to hear about all the people that he's influenced and worked with. And then we also got Capadonna from Wu-Tang Clan. I mean, dude, that was all you, bro.
Well, yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, it's promoting shows over the years. You know, you meet certain people that come through. A lot of people don't understand that there's a lot of artists out here that are wrapping up on stage, opening up for these major national groups And they might be independent A&Rs themselves, like my man M80. You know, that's how I met him. He came rolling through town with Planet Asia, and he had on this Engine Number 9 shirt. And I walked up to him, and I was like, man, that's a dope-ass shirt. And he's like, yeah, word, thank you, man. I ain't from around here. I'm from Indianapolis. You know, we introduced. He's like, I'm M80. I'm like, oh, word, you're going to be playing tonight. He's like, yeah. I was like, well, my group's actually open up for you. And he's like, all right, cool. Well, we'll talk. And then he saw my group, and he was like, man, you know, you're nice on the turntables, this and that. He's like, man, I probably got some work. I could slide you with some national artists. And I'm like, well, you know, let's do it. So next thing I know, I'm getting exclusives from him all the time, helping him book national artists in St. Louis and in surrounding areas. And it's just all coming back tenfold for me, you know. It just works out good. It's just people helping people, you know. That's the main thing. If you're all for yourself, you're not going to get very far. You'll put yourself up on a pedestal and end up ripping your pedestal down because you're critiquing yourself too much, because you overthink everything, because it's just you. You know, if you help some people, it's going to come back, you know, out of the blue when you're putting out a new album. You're really trying to promote it. Next thing you know, you get a call from somebody like, hey, I got this or that going on. You're like, man, perfect timing. I can promote my album there. I can do this or that in that venue. And you wouldn't even have known about that if you wouldn't have gave dude the time of day to help him out in the first place. Yep. So I feel like every door should not be closed unless it needs to be.
No doubt. So, I know I got a couple more questions for you. John wants to know, what's your sign, bro?
What's my sign? I'm a Leo through and through. I don't know how you didn't figure that already.
The proud, mighty lion. The lion.
Yeah, cocky and don't give a fuck.
I hear you. Is it an earth sign, he wants to know?
Is it a what?
Is it an earth sign? Are you even that into astrology?
Yeah, I don't even know, man. I know I'm a Leo. That's about it.
That's it.
I am a being of this earth. I will say that.
That's
if funny. That adds to it.
Okay, so I got one more for you. Like, what's your favorite song currently? And then what's your favorite song all time?
My favorite song of all times, it's going to sound crazy, but it's kind of a tie between Far Side Passing Me By, because, man, that song really spoke to me.
That's an
and
awesome
a song,
song
I heard a little bit later on by Cage called Ballad of the Worms.
Ooh, nice choice.
And that song is hardcore. A lot of people will listen to that song and not even understand how they'll think, oh, man, this is just a drug-influenced song. It's crazy. But, man, it hit me in a special little spot for some reason.
Hey, you can't ever explain how you get inspired, man. It's true. That's what art's there to do. Really, right on. Well, those are great answers, man. I'd like to thank you for calling in. DJ Innovation, where can they find you online? Where can they hear your music? Where can they get in touch with you for future opportunities?
Well, they can hit me up for future opportunities. You know, I'm always down to listen to an artist's album or an artist's track and do some collaborations with them. But just let everybody know I'm brutally honest. If I don't like you, I ain't going to fuck with you. And if I do like you, you'll know. But you can hit me on my email at innovation, INNOVATION, 13@me.com. You can check out a bunch of different joints that I've featured on SoundCloud, DJ Innovation on SoundCloud, or Sean Lynch, SHAWNLYNCH on SoundCloud.
Nice.
That's probably the best bet to hear my stuff. You know, if you're interested in hearing backlog stuff I was in, like, be it a band I was in called Red Zero that I recently, probably about a year ago, left. Pandelirium is a group I was in. You can look up Pandelirium online. Mr. I, you know, you can get some of that on my SoundCloud. A lot of the different cats I've worked with are on that SoundCloud. And you can just, you know, email me if you're interested in hearing anything else. You know, I'll direct anyone in the right path they need to be directed in.
And be sure to listen to Innovation and Me Mondays, 2 to 4, on Tucker Booth Needs
a
Job here on killradio.org.
Pump it or dump it. I don't even know why we call it pump it or dump it, because, man, all the shit I bring to the table is innovation certified, so I know it's getting pumped.
Pump it or dump it. Innovation, we love having you, man. Thank you so much. Peace, love.
Word.
Chicken grease. Good to talk to you, bro.
Thanks for having me. Everybody be on the lookout for new shit. I'm going to be putting it up on SoundCloud at all times. I got some J Skills coming, got some Tucker Booth, got some so-and-so coming. I got all kinds of hot shit on deck at all times.
All times, always, infinite. All right, bud. We'll talk to you later.
All right, peace.
Sweat.
Let's go ahead and end that.